Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm back. I'm MG.
I'm back. I'm Red Bear.
I'm back again. Cap, you're welcome.
So we had him a call back. Yes, what happened? He came back. We thought it worked really well with three people. Red Bear is now back.
We told
you last week that he had some Ghosts and Goblins trouble, but really, you had some vehicular trouble.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't ghosts. It wasn't goblins. It was a relay.
Well, I think there was a goblin in my truck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's probably what it was.
You fought the goblin, killed the goblin,
took him to the mechanic, he fixed it.
Awesome, awesome. We're going to pitch the website like we always do, starting...
That's the website with two P's, right?
That's their website. Go ahead and tell them what the website is.
Okay, so yeah, that's exppoints.com. Double tap the P.
You got to double tap that P. It's like paintball. We have the Lost Planet game giveaway. It's Lost Planet 1, the Colonial Edition.
We're still giving it away?
It's been like up for grabs for 3 weeks. We've only had like a couple people go in, so I feel like people just aren't going to the website. Just go to the website. We promise.
I bet you they're not hitting the two P's.
You got
hit the two P's. Yeah,
again, if you go to EXP
Points.
EXP Points.
That's not it.
EX Points. EX Points is EXP Points. Double tap the P. Go there. Follow the instructions in the post. It's sticky at the top. And you could win Lost Planet 1. If you're not going there because you already own Lost Planet 1, you picked it up on a Humble Bundle or a Steam sale or something, you already own it, that's fine. After this week, we are going to regroup, take it down, give it to somebody. We're going to announce it on the air, and then we're going to put up another game.
New game.
It may be Lost Planet 2.
Maybe it won't be.
It may be Mirror's Edge. It may be Medal of Honor. It could be a lot of these games. It could be some really cool games. We've got a list. I don't have it with me. It's like 20 games, I think. So we've got enough to pretty much do it the rest of our lives. At this rate, if we give one game away every 3 weeks, we've got a lot. We got a couple years worth of games.
Away, we have 20 games every three
20
weeks.
Times
How long are we going to live?
So that's it. We did a show every week. We have over 60 weeks worth of games to give away.
And then we die?
I hope not.
That's what you said.
Anyway.
So we can last another year.
We can last another year without buying any new games and without taking any breaks. So,
but you're saying we'll live for one more year?
At least.
Okay.
I mean, that's a minimum. I hope. Maybe. I don't know. The PS4 is about to come out 2 days. The PS4 will be out. I may forget to eat.
I'm already signed up to go wait in line with my roommate for that.
Yep, it's you could die in the hustle and the hassle to get the PS4. There's a big stampede of
a nerd herd just runs over me.
Nerd herd, love it.
Done.
That's like an indie band if I ever heard one. Nerd herd. Check the website for our most up to date radio podcasts and reviews. We haven't posted last week's radio show yet. It probably will be posted sometime this week. Again, there's a little audio problem, but we're getting that worked out. So there's that. Let's go ahead and talk about what we did this week. I reinstalled Rock Band.
Yeah,
and I've been
great decision.
I've been trying to install all these Rock Band DLC packs, and it has just taken forever.
It's because you need better internet.
Yeah, I need to download some better internet because it has taken forever to download all these Rock Band DLCs.
But it's worth it. It's so much fun. We played.
It was so much fun. It is really fun.
It is a lot of fun.
I forgot that was that fun, and it truly is a party game, and it looks fantastic in 1080p or 720p
on a projector,
on a big projector with a banging 5.1 surround sound system. With a powered
and a laser machine.
Man, it looks better than the old apartment with the 100-pound TV.
Yeah, the 100-pound TV.
The crappy stereo.
Red Bear and I used to live together. We lived in paper-thin wall apartment where the air conditioner didn't work right. And when you play Rock Band, it gets hot because you're like jumping around and you're pretty much.
Of course, you're on the second story. So.
Yeah, I mean, everyone below you is hating you, but then they're like, oh, okay, you're playing some Journey. That's not bad. That's cool. Or you're playing Saints of Los Angeles. And that's awesome too. And so yeah, that was my weekend reinstalling and updating all of the Rock Band stuff. I actually I didn't have my Rock Band 1 and 2 discs. I had Rock Band Green Day for some reason. I didn't give that one up, but I needed Rock Band 1 and Rock Band 2 to download, to export the songs off of the disc.
He's not an American idiot.
No, I'm not. Just a regular idiot. I mean, I guess I'm American, so by proxy, but I had to go to GameStop in the middle of like the night and get a microphone because I lost my microphone.
Why game stores are still open.
Yeah, because people like me, they're like,
you can't download microphones yet.
I need to do a
party. Oh, wait, we have 3D printers.
Yep.
Yeah, you can.
They're going out of business. Needed the discs, though. So got those.
3D print them.
For a steal. and did that. What did you do this weekend, games. Red Bear?
What did I do this weekend? A lot of work and a little bit of gaming. I played the Stanley Parable.
What did you think of that? That's a pretty interesting
game. It's like sarcasm in a box. It's like I need to sit back, smoke a cigar, drink some scotch, and think about life.
Yeah, it's philosophical.
Yeah,
Have you ever, Cap, have you ever played the Stanley Parable?
I have. I played the demo. Downloaded that through Steam. I've seen some people playing it. It seems very interesting.
And it's not finished yet.
I don't know if I want to buy it.
I don't think it's finished yet, right?
Is I don't it, know. It has endings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was a greenlit game. But
no,
maybe
I think it's finished.
Okay.
And if it's not, well, they can always add more endings to it, I guess.
Because I've played the demo before.
Have you played it?
I played the demo before, and I haven't beaten it. Same with Going Home. Like, I've watched enough about Going Home. I need to pick it up and play it because it's one of those games where it's not really a game that you play for the action or whatever. It's just an experience. It's a journey. You go through it, and at the end, you feel pretty good or not. But you went there.
Yeah, that's kind of how the Stanley Parable is. It's all of, like, the metagame is, makes you think about decision making and whether or not you actually have a choice in anything.
Nice. Yeah. All right, what about you, Cap? What'd you do this weekend?
Same thing I do every weekend.
You took over the world?
I tried to take over the world. Oh. We failed. But all I really do, I've been keeping up with World of Warcraft since I'm the big MMO.
Did you watch BlizzCon?
MMO-er. I did not. But thanks
I'm the big
to
MMO-er.
The internet
I don't watch BlizzCon.
And mainly Reddit.
Nice. Yeah, okay,
I was able to stay informed and
you know
everything
what, those
that's
are
happening.
Good,
Reddit.
I feel
the
like
internet is Reddit.
Those are pretty good accurate resources for things like this because there's enough aggregate knowledge, like mind thought out there that
there's enough nerds on Reddit.
At BlizzCon who are on Reddit who will get me the information I want.
Right. And if someone tries to like say something that's wrong, like someone tries to lie or whatever, they're instantly going to be pointed out and be like, "You're a liar. Get off of our subreddit." So that's good. So what'd you find out? Give us the skinny.
I know for a fact that Blizzard has announced their next expansion. I know they've been talking about it, Warlords of Draenor.
Okay.
It's going to be insanely amazing.
All right.
They've been talking
Better
about
than Mr. Pandaria.
Is that the tagline? Warlords of Draenor,
so.
Insanely amazing?
Insanely amazing. I just added
Metzen,
that myself.
Quoted Metzen.
I'm really hoping it's better because I was sad with the pandas.
I really enjoyed Pandaria. I like being
a panda.
I feel like it was the leveling's so easy, but I feel like it's almost catharsis at this point. Like you have to rage a little bit so at the end you can get to the end game and like do stuff. Like that's the thing. I feel, you know, I think I'm level 84, 85 on my monk. I'm leveling a panda monk because I wanted the whole experience, but I realized like past a certain part, past the initial starting level, the starting like what 1 to 20 or 1 to 12 or something, all of a sudden it's WoW again, just normal WoW.
Right. And then you get through all that content.
You speed, rebuilt trees
you speed,
and all that.
You speed through that to get to the Pandaria part or whatever, and then you go through the end game, or getting to the end game, which is pretty much from, I guess, 85 to 90. What was his level range for the Pandaria?
85 to 90.
Yeah, so you go those five levels, which is a long five levels.
Which I'll admit, I didn't.
I got out before
I made it there.
It needed to be a full expansion's worth of content, so they had to stretch out the five levels. So
I don't think we ever really did a comprehensive kind of overview about Mr. Pandaria, but I really enjoyed everything they did with their phasing technology, with their...
It has gotten so much better.
Is the phasing better? Because yeah, I remember yes. you... we got back in and we were riding a little rocket, remember?
Wrath.
And then like you just disappeared on my screen and I disappeared on your screen.
Yeah, it got a lot better than that.
Phasing really, initially, I believe, came out for Wrath of the Lich King. Yeah. It was very minimal. It was done very well because they had very little phasing.
Right.
And Cataclysm, they wanted to take it to the next level, super phasing, and it was... awful.
I accidentally got off his rocket.
Blizzard.
No euphemism. And then I couldn't find him again.
Yep.
We had to like go back to Orgrimmar.
Blizzard has announced, and they have actually stated that they messed up Cataclysm.
I agree.
Several
I think
ways.
Everyone agrees.
One of the ways was the phasing. The phasing was just overdone, and you can tell it's very glitchy in a lot of points. It still is.
I feel like in Wrath, you know, they put you in a position where you're like looking at a wall or you're focusing on something else, and then they like change all the set pieces in the background. Like he's in the building. Okay, everyone, move the environment around. Set those trees on fire. Put those archers.
Now I'm picturing like a whole bunch of orcs running around like bushes and stuff.
Kill those guards down there. Set this podium up. Get the Wrath of Lich King out here. Get the Lich King out here. Put him on the podium. Have him say stuff. And then when you go out there, he's like, okay, turn around. And then like he does everything again, changes everything again. When you turn around, you're like, oh, it's a bright, whole new world out here now. But then in Cataclysm,
world.
They were like, well, we're just going to change everything in front of you. It's going to be so cataclysmic. And then it just died. It doesn't work.
It wasn't very good. But they really stepped it up in Pandaria.
I feel that's what they do in Pandaria.
The phasing is really good. And I was actually very impressed by the art.
Yep, the art is very...
The new art.
And the new models, the Pandaren models are so high definition.
Very articulate.
They're really, you can really tell from the vanilla models, and the BC models are a little bit better. And then the Cataclysm models are those were good too. But now these Panda models.
The Panda models were really very good.
I feel like it's like a 1970s action figure and a 2007 action figure. Like, actually, you have like 10 points of articulation. You can move your arms up and down, but you can't move your elbows. And you can move your legs left or, up and down, but you can't move the knees. And you can like turn the head, but
you're boardwalking.
Yeah. Right. And
but yeah, Cap, I think you said the new expansion come out, they're going to redo some of the old models.
Right. They've been talking about it during this expansion. They said we're looking into
humans.
We're looking into redoing the original 8 vanilla models. Everyone was super excited. We're like, oh, please let it happen this expansion. If not, it will happen next expansion.
I was expecting it to do it, Mr. Pandera.
They have announced that it is going to happen next expansion. They've already released some of them with BlizzCon, the new models. They look
completely different. But they aren't releasing any new classes.
There's no new classes. Zero new races.
Okay, so
you are just getting
that's unheard of, really, models. Because typically we've had a new race or a new class every other expansion.
Alternating class race. Nuanced.
So that's fine. We're not getting another hero class or anything. We're not getting another the next Dead Knight or whatever. No. Death Knight.
But the thing I'm excited about the most, Burning Crusade was my favorite.
Yes,
expansion.
I think so.
It was set
in Outland. Outland is the broken world of Draenor.
Right.
The planet the orcs came from, Draenor, and it has been destroyed, and that's Outland. The new expansion, Warlords of Draenor.
A little bit of foreshadowing. Just a little bit of spoiler. Spoiler alert.
They've stated that they're not going. You're not going back in time.
Okay.
I've heard that the storyline is. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Garrosh does not die at the end of Pandaria. Garrosh is the big bad in Pandaria.
Yeah.
We overthrow Garrosh.
I feel like he's been a jerk the entire game.
He's been a jerk the whole time.
As soon as
he made Warchief, he's been a jerk.
Because it was interesting you said Burning Crusade. If you play through Burning Crusade, he's out in the Grand and he's like a nobody.
Yeah, you level up with him. And when you go into Lich King, he's in the starting zone for one of the Lich King areas.
And he's just getting jerkier and jerkier.
Yeah, he's the guy who's in charge of the forward base.
Oh,
you work with him.
He's really cool.
He has a bit of a temper, but he's trying to prove himself. He's not a bad guy.
He just seems like he's angry.
Mind Garrosh at all, and then he's leveling up, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, look, here he is, and it's so cool seeing him.
The stress of being Warlord takes its toll, really. Thrall got out when he was young.
He just turned.
Became an aspect.
It was ridiculous. You take him down at the end, but he doesn't die. He goes to stand trial in Pandaria.
Okay, fair
makes
enough.
Makes sense. They were destroyed the most.
They want to take, they take
the
care
most.
Of business.
So in this new expansion, evidently, Garrosh is going to try to go back in time to prevent his father from taking the blood of Manoroth, which is what caused the blood curse on the orcs and made all this crazy stuff happen.
Okay. So he's going to change all
Blizzard of WoW. Stating that we're not going to be – it's not a time traveling – it's not going to be a time traveling
expansion.
We're
not Doctor Whoing back in the day.
It's going to be something along the lines of Garrosh goes back and does it. And then it changes how Outland is. So we're going back to Outland, but it's going to be Draenor, and all of those famous orcs from the lore are going to be there. We're going to interface with Gul'dan, Ner'zhul, Kil'rog, Bloodeye, all of the big bads.
So this is a big lore-filled expansion. This is
going to be fun.
This is what it's going to be. This is going to be the lore expansion.
I am
more excited about this than anything.
Let me ask you a question, because I can tell.
As you can tell, I'm talking.
You are so excited.
I'm so excited.
What does this mean, or what do you think it means for when you're leveling through that Burning Crusade time period of the expansions? How is that going to be affected? Because we had talked about this in a previous episode, where having some sort of progression server layout where you play through vanilla WoW or WoW with all these other things in it, so the engine's updated, but you play through the original 0 to 60, and then you play through the original expansion with all the world bosses and world events, and you progress like that. It seems like when Cataclysm came out and they remade the world,
they changed it permanently.
It changed it permanently, so you'll never be able to. Like, I feel like we were special, like all the people
we
that
knew
played,
what everything looked like before.
Right, like
I was in
the
I was,
Barrens.
I did Desolace when it was a desert. Now it's an oasis.
Right. Yeah. So you go through Barrens, and you're like
been cut in half.
You're like Barrens isn't so bad.
There's
I've done that in one big horrible piece.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they do this and that becomes a persistent type of environment where –
what's going to happen to the BC content?
Right. Is it just going to – because
that's
predominant?
That's one thing I am worried about. Either they're going to change the BC content and where it will mainly
be
a graphical update, or the entire thing will be phased, or they'll have two separate, data locations.
Like worlds.
Yeah, it'll be
maybe
like –
a different gate.
It'll be like
– it'll pretty much copy the resources and you'll be – pointed to a different locale.
Right, when you're a certain level,
it'll map wise, you'll be in Outland, because it won't be the same as this if you're actually in Outland.
This brings up an interesting question.
Wasn't this phasing?
It is phasing. Well, potentially, I guess that's exactly what phasing is, because
phasing,
it changes
the
topology.
Phasing would be the way I see it. The phasing would be where you would overlay the resources kind of on top of each other, and they'd be kind of like you'd interchange them. And this way,
it would be completely different.
If you're in Draenor, there is no connection from Draenor to Outland.
It's like instead of going to Florida, you accidentally go to Boston.
It's like Outland and Pandaria. They're okay. Different continents on the map, but I'm assuming they're not like layered on top of each other. You can't like phase from Outland to Pandaria. That's not how it works. They're in different instances.
Geolocations inside the game.
They're in different instances. So either they're going to do – hopefully they'll do something like that where they have the old Outland. Maybe they'll update it.
Yeah.
Because they have some screenshots.
Of old Outland?
They show old Outland and they show new Draenor Outland and the same like Hellfire Peninsula and all that, and it looks way better.
Right.
I'm just really worried to see how they're going to integrate it into the game, because I love BC content. I still want to go do it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's just because speaking of people who haven't gone through it and everything, but I believe with the new expansion, you're going to get a level 90 character, so you can go right into the new content.
Right. So over the course of all these expansions, they have been continuously trying to speed up the level in which new players get through the game. They want you to experience the content, and
will be good for me, who gave up on Mr. Pandaria. I didn't actually finish it, and so I don't have to get through those last levels.
Right, because as they add expansions, the level cap goes up. The new level cap for Draenor is 100.
It's
90 to 100. So instead of being like, oh, well, you have to go through all 100 if you're new. That's a lot.
That is a lot, but
even if they cut experience, that's a lot of levels.
I feel like having it optional is a good idea. Like I'm not saying you're not cutting out all of that previous content. I do like the speed run of hey, you're there. I feel like there should be some continuity though, or some sort of like not a tutorial, but I don't know. Whenever you play a mage, let's just say you have a class, a mage, you learn how to play that class as you level up. It's very strategic in when they grant you the abilities of this and that.
Right.
And I feel like, you know,
just
when you
jumping
take,
right in it with everything.
Right. When you take a veteran player, they're going to be much more adept
than a new player.
Even a player that's been playing WoW for, say, I've been playing it 9 years. I've never played a warrior at past level like 5. So if I just got a warrior, I have no idea what I'm doing. That's why I didn't play one in the first place. Oh, I want to check one out at end game or close to end game. That's fine. I feel like you should almost. I feel like they should do it with they did with the Death Knights. You should have a character that is close, like say a level 90 character, before you can make a level 90 character instantly.
So for the Death Knights, you have to have a level 55 before you make it, because the Death Knight starts at 55.
Right. That's what I feel.
They
you should
have talked about what they're going to do.
Okay.
So when you buy Warlords of Draenor, you have the ability to boost one character. They make it clear only one character up to level 90.
Okay,
so
they're not
saying – it can be a brand new character or it can be an existing
character. Okay, so it's not just characters.
It can be for current players or completely new players.
Is that one per realm? Well, it's obviously
per – it's one per account.
Okay. One per account.
So make it on the right
realm. It's not like one per account. You can't just like have not level 90s of everything.
No.
It would just like –
they want to make their money off of realm transfers when you realize you made it on the wrong one.
One time level 90. What they said they're going to do is they're going to do something similar to the Death Knight starting area. You get your level 90 and then – you get to go through what's going on in Draenor. They're gonna somehow make some kind of opening area where you get to learn how to play your class.
So you'll have like a starting zone at level 90.
Nice.
Right. It's gonna be
there's fun.
Gonna be some kind of introductory questing kind of
I like
experience.
It's like,
that
hey,
makes me
we
feel better
because
I've been out for a little
now.
While.
Something else
like,
that they have just
so no
recently implemented in the current expansion is called the Proving Grounds. It's a solo scenario. They've added scenarios, by the way.
Scenarios
are little 3-person dungeons.
Oh, okay.
They're super quick. There's no spec requirement. You just need 3 people. You can have a tank, you can have a healer, you can have 3 DPS. It doesn't matter. They're super easy. They're just lore. They're biscuits of lore.
Okay.
They're super fun. They're
biscuits
super interesting.
Of lore. I like that.
So they have started doing solo
Here's
scenarios
your lore biscuits.
Where you do all this stuff by yourself. So the newest one they've added is called the Proving Grounds. You enter the Proving Ground and you talk to this guy, and there's medals you earn by doing your spec.
Okay.
Or you kind of train in your spec. So if you're a DPS, you say, well, I'm a DPS. Let me do the DPS bronze level. And it's going to set you up with a set of waves, and you will learn how to DPS.
Okay.
The better you do a DPS, the farther you're going to get.
So
and
it's like what they
bronze,
implemented in
silver,
StarCraft too, like
gold.
those little micro quests that they have in StarCraft
right.
too. They're like, can you beat this, you know, with this one unit, can you take down these 18 units
right.
using their special abilities?
So it's supposed to teach new players how to play their class, how
okay.
to do what they're supposed to
okay.
do.
Okay, that's
good.
I can see that.
Yeah.
There's just one. There's one for each spec. It's very interesting. As a DPS, it's just mobs. You DPS. They don't attack back. So there's no point of, you know, there's no worth. You shouldn't be worried
about
dying.
You're trying to do as much DPS as you
should be worried about. You need
healer.
Focus on your rotation.
Yep. So you can maximize your DPS.
There is a healing one where you say, "I'm a healer, so let me prove myself in the healing." They give you a party of four NPCs. They give you a tank and three DPS. And then the tank tanks the stuff. You have to keep everybody alive.
Nice. Okay, so it sort of simulates.
They all use cooldowns. They act just like your actual players. They stand in fire.
It's just a bot's match.
You mean they go AFK all the time?
They stand in fire. They forget to attack sometimes. They make all the mistakes.
So they play like most people.
They yell at you.
Play.
I forgot to dispel one of them because I have seven level 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So you play.
So
WoW
I have a range
a
of. I play WoW a little bit. I have a range of all the different specs. I went in my healer. I forgot to dispel one of the debuffs because I didn't care. I have great healing. And they yelled at me.
They
said,
like, "Yo,
how about you dispel that faster next time?"
Hmm?
Nice. Okay. So,
and then one guy said, "He's doing the best he can." One guy actually stood up for me.
Nice. Okay.
Wait, the NPCs are like fighting for
you. I can see it.
He's a good healer.
No,
he was terrible.
They've done it very well. It's very good.
They've definitely increased.
Not easy either.
There's
actually probably just some guys at Blizzard whose job is to be the NPCs
all the time.
All the time. That'd be a fun job.
That's really cool. In that case, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it then, because I mean, I was looking forward to the new models, because that's a big takeaway for me.
I'm also, this is making me look forward to it. I think we'll get back into it after. Like, I didn't like Mr. Pandera, but yeah.
Well, come back and play with me and MG in our guild.
Yep, there you go.
Alrighty.
If you want
to join the guild, you can get on Stormreaver. We are LFM Bros.
LFM Bros.
Looking for more bros.
We are going to cut two songs, and we're come back, and we're going to talk about the end of a generation. This is The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton, followed by Keywords and Dubstep by Professor Shy Guy. Look him up. He just had a pretty successful Kickstarter. I'm sure all of his stuff's on, I don't know, maybe YouTube. Definitely on Spotify. But take a look at that. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
I'm Cap.
And this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And I'm Cap.
And that was Keywords and Dubstep by Professor Shy Guy. Before that, The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton, both which recently had successful Kickstarters, one for a comic, one for his new album. So we were talking about World of Warcraft. And
which one has the new album?
Professor Shy Guy had the new album, and Jonathan Colton actually got the Code Monkey comic.
Comics,
yeah. It's available on Comixology.
Code Monkey.
Comixology.
Is that like
the song?
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like the cartoon.
No. That was based off of the song.
Was it?
Yeah, that was based off the song. That's the opening song, actually.
In fact.
But no, they have a separate one with, I believe Greg Pak is doing the line art or the story. I can't remember. Yakazaki, I think, is doing the pen art. Anyway, they're really big in the comic world. Check it out. You can just Google Code Monkey Comic and you'd find it out. But we were talking about World of Warcraft before the break, and we're going to talk about it again in another show. We could talk all show long about the lore.
You
and
better
about
believe I'll be here.
Cap will be here. Red Bear will be here.
I'll be around.
We're going to get. We may sit down and play through Warcraft 1, Warcraft 2, a little bit of Warcraft 3, and then just to kind of get a little bit of an idea, because the Warcraft movie was actually announced. We got a little more
2015.
Information.
What? I should watch BlizzCon.
2015, and it was actually. It's going to be about
director.
Around,
director. Who's the director?
I can't remember.
He did some other great famous movie.
He did Source Control. Or Source Code.
Source Control? He runs an SVN client server.
He did Source Code, and he did another big movie. I can't remember it, but that's...
I still want to know how you go from running a SVN server to directing a movie.
It's a pretty big jump.
Man,
so the movie Source Code, and then the movie's going to be centered around Warcraft 1.
I'm so excited.
Lore-wise. So that's going to be pretty cool. But we're going to talk about that in another show.
You can't tell my
voice,
but I'm so excited.
We don't want to take up too much time exclusively on that when we got all this other stuff to cover.
Like mimosas.
So we are going to talk about mimosas and MMOs, and they're not the same thing. Some people.
But you can do them both at the same time.
You can, I mean, for a short while.
You can do an MMO, and you can do a mimosa.
You can MMO,
you can
and
do
you can
them.
Mimosa.
Yes. Drink a few mimosas, you'll understand.
We're going to verb those out.
Verbs.
Verbs.
Let's talk about the end of a generation. In 2 days, the PlayStation 3 will be last gen. The PlayStation 4 will be released.
The gasp.
And we,
great time to buy a PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to be selling pretty cheap.
But, or a computer.
But I imagine, well.
Mostly a computer.
I imagine PS3s are going to be around for a while. The PS2 was around for a while.
Yeah, and this PC thing, it's just, you know, it's a phase.
It's not going to catch on.
The PCs.
PCs will never catch
phase,
on.
Huh? No. So PS3s are going to be around for a while, I predict anyway.
Yeah, like I think it's going to be kind of like the PlayStation 2s were.
I mean, how long – the PlayStation 2 – like, they're still making PlayStation 2 games. They're just making one a year, I think. But for a while, they made PlayStation 2 games, yeah, like, tons them, of them.
Yeah.
The Persona series was famous for releasing PlayStation 2 versions of their game, and those are big games, I think, by Atlus. That's the name of the company that makes them. Super huge game. Cult following, really. And only without only their game Catherine did they start bringing it over to the PS3, and then they started bringing the Persona games over, and that's pretty much when the PlayStation 2 stopped working. But then I think November 20th,
all PlayStation 2s just stopped.
Well, no,
working.
I mean when the PlayStation 2 game development stopped really going.
You know, I say that I have a Zune Media Player,
yeah,
for Microsoft. It did stop working. Was it year before last
when the new Zune came out?
No. Well, I think it was dead at that point anyway. At midnight on the rollover for the year, because there was a glitch in the base code.
Oh, nice.
They made all Zunes everywhere just die.
How'd you fit? You rolled it back?
My Microsoft actually released a patch about a day later.
Nice. Right. So let's talk about, because again, PS4 is coming out in 2 days, and in a little over a week, or maybe exactly a week, the Xbox One will be
not
released.
Be confused with the Xbox,
the original Xbox,
the
Xbox original Xbox, X Bone, and X Boriginal.
An ex-original? It's a burrito.
It doesn't work. You can't say X-bone.
X-bone.
You're dropping, X-bone. You're dropping a whole other O and
Bing.
X.
X-buxone.
Bing.
Anyway, they're going to be released within a week, both of them, and then we will be in the full-fledged next generation. Yeah, we've had the Wii U. That didn't impress me. So.
I believe I heard they're releasing the Wii Mini.
Yep, they are.
So, we talked about that last
about
show.
That last show.
I should have been here last
and,
week.
And how not worth it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got no connectivity whatsoever, really. No SD card slots. No,
well, what's the market?
Slots.
I don't understand.
The market is, hey, kids.
People who don't know what you're supposed to be getting for $100.
I feel that it's for kids growing
pretty sure
up.
You get a Wii for $100.
Kids
now.
Growing up that want to play like Mario and these games that don't require any online capabilities.
So no kid ever.
Like a nursery. I feel like nurseries. Like
nurseries.
Hospitals a could nursery. Put these on carts. And go and wheel it around to people
just
in rooms.
In every room.
Yeah. I mean, they're
set in the room.
Wow.
Anyway, we are in the next generation.
This is
generation.
Part of Obamacare, isn't it? I get
no,
it.
No, I don't think so.
Every hospital patient gets a Wii Mini.
Then everyone would have one. That's
or
how it
no
works,
one.
Right? Provided the website, sign up website would work. So, and we're
going to sign up for my free Wii
we're
Mini.
We're going to keep running with that joke.
Those silly Canadians.
So let's talk about some of the top and the bottom games of the previous generation. Again, this can be any console game from the previous generation, PS3 and Xbox, and Wii. We're going to leave PC out because PC is not really a generation. We just sort of update the hardware whenever we want to, and there it is.
PC gaming master race.
So Red Bear, do you want to take the first top game? This is a good game.
Top game.
So what was one of the good games for you of the last however many years?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start with the Wii. My favorite game on Wii, Mario Kart.
I love Mario Kart.
Mario Kart,
yeah,
hands down.
I have played that.
That makes it worth owning a Wii.
Did you do the steering wheel or did you do the extra
gamepad?
No,
I did the classic gamepad.
Okay, yeah,
that's
so same here, yeah.
Yeah.
So the classic gamepad is pretty much like a hybrid of a Super Nintendo controller and a PlayStation 3 controller. Just with a Wii flair. It's got two joysticks. It's got, you know, the D-pad. It's got the four buttons. It's got the two shoulder buttons. It's got a start and select.
So my nephew, our nephew,
y'all's nephew,
Chad's son,
yeah,
loves Mario Kart on his Wii.
Yeah, he is definitely a
he
Mario
loves
Kart fanatic.
Playing it. He's very good at it.
Yeah, he's
he plays with the Wii. Well, he hasn't beaten me,
oh, okay,
technically.
Oh, he's beaten me.
Does he play with the Wii
he
truck,
plays
the
with the
Wii
Wiimote. He plays with the Wiimote turned
sideways. Okay.
I cannot play with that thing because you can actually... You actually turn the Wiimote,
yeah,
to turn stuff. I cannot do it.
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
Because he has an old Wii, I actually have my own GameCube controllers.
Right.
And I play with those. So I massacre him. If I'm using a GameCube controller, I massacre him.
So you're kind of like,
yeah,
you're
the hands-on controllers
the
is where it's
where
at.
He'll hide my GameCube
controller. Most
controller
doesn't work.
Because he knows I can't beat him with the Wiimote.
So you're sort of bridging the gap between previous gen and current
gen. I'm showing
gen.
These youngsters that they can't handle this old school
analog input.
My name's Old Mario, Cap. I'm bringing back my Atari Waggle
Super
Stick.
Mario Kart for
if
the
I
Super
just
Nintendo.
Play with the N64 controller.
Super Nintendo Super Mario Kart. That's what I played a ton of. Yeah. If I use a GameCube controller, I'm pretty
much
the same
game. Oh, man,
Rainbow
Road was vicious then.
Yeah. And there's been none other like it.
The new version is still ridiculous.
It's still
ridiculous. I feel that you won't
like,
be it.
I don't know. I think the original Rainbow Road was more ridiculous.
So Mario Kart 60, or not Mario Kart, Wii Edition.
Wii!
Pretty good. And they're actually
That's my pick for
They're
the
releasing
Wii.
That with the Wii Mini, by the way.
Oh, so, okay, that's why someone would buy a Wii Mini. You
right,
don't
like,
own Mario Kart yet.
Okay, yeah.
I get it.
You just get Mario Kart.
I've been trying to figure
game.
This out. Okay.
I feel like most Wii games aren't...
I'll buy Mario Kart.
Most Wii games aren't multiplayer games. Like I feel that Monster Hunter 3.
Because I feel that
that's a multiplayer.
The mainstay
game.
For Wii games is multiplayer.
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
I feel
what?
Like
WarioWare.
I feel like
WarioWare was
I feel
great
like the
fun.
Wii is the multiplayer.
But
console.
But it is a party console. I feel
right. Yes.
Oh yeah. That's multiplayer.
Local
is,
multiplayer. Oh. Like not you don't.
Well,
you don't play Call of Duty on a Wii. Okay.
You're
let's
not
just
playing World
it.
Of Warcraft.
No.
On that. Put it that way. That's what PCs are for, Matt.
It's I think it's a game where you invite your friends over. You all grab a waggle stick and you go to town. On
so you're talking like
my god,
player.
He has figured out what a Wii is for people.
Right. That's
play
what
with
for.
Your friends.
Okay,
you play with your friends, and your friends are in the same room.
So you're talking
yeah.
about online multiplayer.
Online multiplayer, okay. And that makes sense why they would take that. I guess the chip was so expensive. We're gonna take $30. Now that they're still selling the Wii, the big Wii, Wii Pro, or
$129.
$129. So for $30 more,
is it like the Surface? Did they team up with Microsoft?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, God.
Don't call it the Wii Pro.
Okay, Matt just said it was the Wii Pro. All right,
so that was a good game. What was a bad game?
Bad game?
For you, in your eyes, in your bare eyes.
Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
The
new one.
Oh, wow, yeah, so that was really bad.
Yeah, that was really bad.
They had one for PS2.
Yeah.
And that was good.
Well, yeah, that was just a re-release of the original for PS1, I believe.
Right, with better graphics and, you know,
and
PS2.
And just the new one, no.
It
I'm
seemed
done.
Like they...
Well, after they made Need for Speed Most Wanted, which is one of my favorite games ever, just because I like driving the cars around getting chased by cops, I thought they were going to go more in that style, where
like
it's
an
open world, and I guess I had an expectation after Most Wanted, and nah, didn't
no,
happen. Not
so
even
you want Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. they also play Grand Theft Auto, and that was amazing.
You just explain Grand Theft Auto. You're like, I want to drive around and be chased by the cops in this open world.
Yeah, oh no, and I loved Grand Theft Auto.
I feel
it's
like
wonderful.
Need for Speed Most Wanted was hinging, like it was trying
Most
to capitalize.
Most Wanted was great.
It was capitalizing, or the Hot Pursuit, excuse me. It was trying to capitalize on the Fast and the Furious mentality of like mission quest based.
And
you
another
know,
problem I had with it was like
cops.
About less than an hour into playing, I was driving a Zonda.
Right, something
now,
that was just totally inachievable. Like, there's no way you're going to just get that. You can't give me the most powerful car of whatever.
Exactly. It
and,
takes
and expect
everything
me to be
away.
Happy. But, okay, oh, yeah, I've got the most powerful car. It took absolutely no effort. So, awesome.
So that made me sad.
I enjoyed the Ratchet & Clank series. So pretty
those
much
are fun.
Anything from Naughty Dog. I actually have Ratchet & Clank and the Uncharted series. So Naughty,
those guys are superstars.
Naughty Dog, Insomniac, and anything that's branded as a Sony Online or a Sony Entertainment game, I feel is going to be super quality. They only take the best. Likewise, and I say that.
That's called PC, Matt.
Right. Well, I actually have two hardware peripherals as the worst. The PlayStation Move, and likewise for the Kinect, the Steel Battalion 2 game that hinged on virtual controller, like I don't know, augmented reality controller that you...
That was what was awesome about Steel Battalion, was the big controller.
Yeah, it was a $150 controller
worth
for,
it.
For
you're
the
driving
Xbox
a
One.
Mech.
Oh, I'm sorry, for the Xbox original.
Not the Xbox One. Don't. No,
and it didn't do anything other than Steel Battalion. It only did Steel Battalion.
That's okay with me.
I felt like...
Worth
you know,
it.
There are people in there that they bought Steel Battalion. They have the big game controller.
They play Steel Battalion every day of their lives.
They built like a Steel Battalion battle pod.
Probably.
And the same people that do it for MechWarrior, and they're awesome. That was good. I felt that Steel Battalion controller was really, really great. But, you know, the Move, the Kinect, the Wii
motion
sensor,
controllers, I'm not really into.
The motion controller thing.
That being said, Leap Motion for the PC, because it's the best console,
I feel
is
it's extensible.
Pretty fun.
It's extensible and it's extendable. You can do stuff with it and stuff can be done with it. Like you can, it's not, you're not closed into this is the game. This is how we intended you to play it. I feel it's better than getting a dance mat because you are like for DDR. The DDR games hinge on you have pretty much just like 9 squares that you can jump on. And that's fine. You're very constrained versus like Just Dance. And Cap, you own Just Dance.
Yeah, Just Dance 4 for the I have owner for Xbox 360.
And Kinect.
So yeah, it uses the Kinect completely.
I feel that that's good because not only does it have the Kinect, technically is a pretty good, I guess, peripheral. It does depth. And,
I was hating on it big time when it came out. I thought it was a dumb idea. I didn't really like it. Just Dance 4.
I think motion controls is pretty much a dumb idea.
Well, like, I agree with Matt, but it does make me excited because we have these motion controls coming out. We have 3D tech coming out. You know what the next step is?
Full on virtual reality.
Holodex. Yeah. My living room. Ooyah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can buy.
Oh, by the way, I need to give that Ooyah piece of crap back to you.
It's in your truck, isn't it?
No.
Oh, well.
But it's in a trash bag.
I think I may have set it on fire and thrown it off a bridge. Well, so I'm sorry.
Okay, you combine Oculus Rift with the Kinect. And
yeah, that's pretty much a holodeck.
That's exciting stuff going to happen. Yeah. I'm ready to be inside of a video game.
I want to just jump into WoW now. When am I going to be able to go sit in my room and be like, boom, I'm an orc. What just happened? What?
On the
I'll punch you guys in the face.
On that note, there's a...
Fire blast.
There's actually... a game coming out for the PlayStation 4. It is called, like, Playroom or something. It's a big tech demo.
Is it like a Pee Wee's Playhouse type deal?
No. It's a tech demo the motion controller and the camera.
So you can buy a tech demo.
Well, it's pretty much like Iron Man 3.
I can buy a tech demo.
Thank God.
There's more to it, but apparently there's a lot of really cool motion controller abilities with this new one. And they've integrated it all into this, like, Jarvis Iron Man 3 type of interface. It's really cool.
Is PS4 going to use the PSI still?
It's getting a new one, and it's more connecty because it's. I think it's got multiple cameras. It can look up and down, so it's just like the Kinect. Separate, obviously, they didn't use the same technology, but it's the same idea of using two. I mean,
coming lawsuit.
Most people have two eyes.
They love suing over stuff.
Most people, pirates excluded. Most people have two eyes, so that's how we do depth. With this new thing and the controller being the motion controller and the motion move controller now, it's all built into the DualShock 4.
Oh, so I get like a little ice cream cone?
Those still work. Those will still work. But again, I didn't think that was a big selling point. I tried playing some sports games. The sports games were okay. But then you play a game like Killzone with the motion controller and the move gun controller, and it's
I tried playing on your TV. I tried playing Killzone with the motion controller in 3D.
Yeah,
it was super cool, and I was terrible at it.
It seems like if you're good at that, then you're not going to be good playing any other game with a controller because the two do not really. It's like playing a real guitar and a Rock Band guitar. So that being said, go back to you, Red Bear. What are two? You know, give us a good and a bad.
A good and a bad. X-Bone, Halo Reach.
Nice.
Good.
Nice. Not X-Bone, the Xbox 360.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. The 360 Halo Reach.
Halo Reach?
I loved Halo Reach. The story, I didn't play much online, which I know is what everyone likes. But I actually like Halo. I like the story. I actually read the books. They are fun. And then Halo 3 came out. I was super excited. I pre-ordered the Legendary with the helmet and everything and waited at midnight. And I didn't even own an Xbox 360. I had to buy that there. And it was great. And then I got home and took it home, and it was terrible. And I did not enjoy 3 at all.
Okay.
So. And then Halo Reach came out, and I was like, I'll give it a shot. Went back, and it's exactly what I wanted Halo 3 to be like.
Awesome. Awesome, yeah.
So no, full circle for me.
I sort of feel the same way, actually, because
that stands out on Xbox 360.
I did like Halo, and I'll go as far as to say I think I liked Halo Reach more than I like Halo 4.
Oh, definitely.
Having played that, I think I like Halo Reach better than any of the Halo games.
Been the best?
Even though Halo Anniversary came out with... It's Halo 1 with Halo Reach's graphics.
Right. I'm glad they did that, by the way.
I feel like it was good. It was a good step, but I feel like it was a shoddy step, too, because they didn't fully implement Halo Reach's graphics into Halo 1. They only just said, replace the textures, do that. Things still look... last gen. They still look Xbox original.
And
I feel like, you know, Halo Reach, it was like super polished.
Oh yeah.
I mean, everything
did a great job.
It was really, really good. And that was still Bungie, right? Or was that 343?
Was it still Bungie at the time?
I can't remember. I thought Halo 3 was the last one, but I could be wrong.
I'm not sure.
Regardless, whatever team was...
I think it was 343.
It did a really, really... They did a really good job. Half of the developers anyway, so it's fine, but... they did a really good job. I feel like with Halo, the anniversary re-release, I feel like it was just saying, hey, complete your collection, even though Halo 2 is not on Xbox 360, inexplicably. complete your collection, buy the box set, you know, we're trying to make more money. By releasing a texture patch. So I definitely agree. Halo Reach, fantastic. Halo 1 Anniversary, not so much. What's your bad? What's your negative?
My next negative? I'm going to surprise everyone. I'm going to say Skyrim.
We're talking about the Elder Scrolls game, Skyrim, okay.
As much as I enjoy it, you have to play it, without mods. So actually the game, you have to pretty much play it as like a warrior type person.
Well, I don't think you can get mods on the console versions.
No, you can't get mods
on
the console
versions.
Okay,
so you are locked into playing Skyrim.
You're pretty much
going
to have to play like this Nordic warrior person who hits things with big swords
and
axes
hammers,
and
Warhammers.
Grunts a lot. And I wanted to play like a little skinny old mage type dude who wore cloth and was really frail but would like kill you with fireballs.
Was the game just too hard?
No, I don't.
I think it's challenging.
It's imbalanced. I got a great example because I got to this one point. This is when I quit playing my mage when I was stuck with a troll. We were running around in a circle and I would keep hitting him with fireballs and such until I ran out of mana. And so I would keep running in circles and he couldn't catch me. But his health would regen while my mana regened. So then after an hour of running in a circle, I'm like, this is dumb.
Locked in a timeless battle. Bear versus troll.
So magic was completely imbalanced. I do remember that.
Yeah,
it seemed like everything was resistant to fire.
Yeah.
Everything was resistant.
It's kind of funny because fire is actually the troll's weakness.
Right, should be.
Fire does more damage to the troll.
Yeah, you get locked in an infinite loop, and that's just not fun.
So, I mean, if you played it on PC, and that's what you do, I assume.
I do play it on PC now.
With mods.
Yeah, with mods.
It helps balance it out.
I forgot the name. There's a pack you can download, and it fixes all the magic.
It calls the Red Bear Fix-It Patch.
I did not make it. It is not mine.
I know we were talking about Elder Scrolls Online, and that's one of our big hopes is that magic will work better. It'll work better than Elder Scrolls Skyrim, and I hope so.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Metal Gear Solid 4. That was like one of my favorite games, period. My favorite game series, period. So Metal Gear Solid 4 was just, I don't know, it was expansive. They did this really cool thing that before it was hard for them to do because of the space on a disc. And I remember Metal Gear Solid 4 fully utilizing like Blu-ray's capacity at the time, like 50 gigs of a game. Though I think 25 gigs is more actual, you know, that's a more real number. But it would do this thing where I think three times in the entirety of the game, it would load for like 5 minutes. And then for the rest of that third of the game, you wouldn't see a loading screen. It would just all the content for that section of the game was put in. And it was really cool. They used the game models, and I know that's very common now, but before it used to not be. They used to just put videos or pre-rendered cinematics. But because they used the game models, and the game models were so high quality, and everything in the game was high quality, the in-game movies, of which there was like 112 hours of, again, a very lengthy game, it's a cinematic game. I mean, that's the point. But
cinematic game.
It is a cinematic game. You play it to watch it to play it. It was beautiful. It was really great. And depending on the outfit you were wearing or the guns that you had or the mods you had or different things that you were doing, it would impact that video. It would impact that little segment. So the interaction between the characters, like if you had a mask on, I remember very distinctly if you had a mask on and you were talking to a character, they'd be like, why do you have that mask on? You're freaking me out. Take the mask off. If you wore blended camo or whatever and you'd lay down next to something, then you would blend in with something. And there's one scene I remember, it's like a teaser or a funny little section where you go up against a wall and you crouch up next to a wall and there's a poster behind you and you like blend in to the poster and he looks down and he's like, ugh, you know, and it was just really cool. If you weren't wearing that camouflage, that didn't happen. So it was like a really cool immersive for the game environment. It was a really cool game. But
so what's your negative?
My negative, there's two games.
I want to hate on things.
Yeah, so this is kind of a throwaway. Duke Nukem Forever. I feel Duke Nukem Forever was either the best worst game or the worst best game.
Best worst game.
You know, for the money that
Definitely
was thrown at it,
worst
for the time
game.
Frame they had to deal with, it was like 11 years.
Yeah.
They've been working on this thing.
Oh, and I know people who had their original reservation for that game.
It's
framed.
It should not be as bad as it was. It seemed like I didn't particularly, when Deus Ex Human Revolution came out, I didn't particularly like the game. I played it, but I felt that it was clunky. I felt that the controls were not very responsive, and I felt that the AI was like, every AI was a sniper. Everyone in the game, everyone in the game, they could have had a slingshot. They could have had a paper airplane. Mm-hmm. And whenever they try to shoot you, they will hit you in the eye every time. And it only took, like, it took them four shots to die. It took you three or four. And they could be like, oh, it shot me in the toe. Well, if I get shot in the toe three more times, I'm going to explode and die. I didn't immediately like the game. I have come around to liking the game. It is very
much the story is very good.
Yeah, and it is a tactical game. It's very strategic.
Right. You're offered, well, and I like that element of it. Well, if you want to play like a stealth, non-lethal person, good luck.
Yeah,
you're going to be there a while.
You can do that. Your game will become a 100-hour game.
Yeah, or if you use a Typhoon, you can just run around and kill everyone.
Right. I felt that America. You know, you've got a game like that. It didn't feel cheap. It felt underdeveloped. Versus Duke Nukem.
And then you have the boss fights in it, but that's a whole other thing.
Right, but not even counting the boss fight. I meant the feel of the game.
Okay.
It had this awesome look and this awesome presentation.
It did.
And then you play it and you're like, this is not what I expected.
I see what you're saying.
But I immediately was unhappy. Now I'm not. I'm more okay with that. Duke Nukem didn't live up to anything, any of the hype. Whenever it was like, oh, now it's being released, and I've played Duke Nukem 3D and, you know, all of the Duke Nukem games, minus some of the side-scroller ones. I did a lot of the third-person action-adventure, like, PlayStation games that were kind of like Land of Babes or whatever.
Speaking of side-scroller games, I'm sorry, there was a Half-Life 2 side-scroller game. I can't find it anymore.
Yeah, it's Gordon's Hero.
Yeah.
It was Gordon's Hero.
That's worth checking out if you can find it.
And it was really good. It was developed by Valve as a demo because it was like the 2D version of the Source Engine.
It was fun.
So, all I'm saying is about Duke Nukem, 11 years of development, or plus, 11 plus years of development, a lot of money, several developer changes, and they went through several engine changes. You would think that by the time we get to the current gen where a trend in programming is that the longer you do something, the longer that a language exists, the easier it is to develop in it because the tools you use to develop get better, the processes get more streamlined. Again, coding a website today versus coding a website in 1990, severely different, much easier in a lot of regards. Duke Nukem should not be as bad as it is. I felt like it was a 1992 game stuck in a 2012, I think 2011 game shell, and it failed on almost every possible level. I don't think
the humor wasn't even funny.
Right. I feel like it was potty humor, and it's not
well,
the funny.
It's supposed to be potty
it's
humor.
Not
Saints,
it's,
supposed
to be, it's not Saints
Row. It's supposed to be highbrow potty humor.
Like Saints Row, I feel Saints Row is what I wanted Duke Nukem to be.
That's what you wanted? Yeah, okay.
Only first person. And likewise, along with bad games, the Tony Hawk's HD Remix.
I love Tony Hawk's.
For the PlayStation 1.
I played
1.
The remix, though.
So PlayStation 1 Tony Hawk was
fantastic.
Yeah,
that was great. That
I played it for PS2.
Yep,
Tony Hawk's Underground.
They had
Underground.
I like those.
It was really good. I remember playing like
I was skating then, and that was unrealistic and awesome.
Yep, because you could like you can go and you can do a McVarial 900
off
of a half pipe or a quarter pipe. You'd go 80 feet in the air because that's doable.
Yeah,
it was totally cool though. I remember getting like the PlayStation Underground demo disc, and they had Tony Hawk 1 on the demo disc, and they had two levels. And
that's all you needed.
And it was awesome. I remember playing, like, I don't have a PlayStation at that point. I went over to people's houses and played this game over and over and over again. It was a demo. I remember getting
that's like back in the day for PlayStation 1, Cool Borders demo.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I went down
exactly.
that mountain.
Exactly. I feel Cool Borders and Tony Hawk's were like the same.
Were synonymous?
They were the same type of game.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tony Hawk's HD, they released it for, I think, $10.
Yeah.
It was after the failed Tony Hawk's Ride and Tony Hawk's Skate HD or whatever. They had the actual skateboard peripheral.
Yeah, that was bad.
The motion controller.
And I'm a fat guy, so I broke it.
Well, you can get them at Big Lots for like $15 in Dollar Generals and get them for like $15 now.
When you can get your game peripheral at Dollar General, there's an issue.
Yeah, it was a bad, it's a bad remake. Those were bad games, but the HD remake.
So what makes it bad? Like
the controls,
they didn't just like, take it and put it on the new console.
If they would have done that, that would have been fine.
The
controls
like
aren't as tight
thing.
As they used to be. They're not responsive. They're very gluey. That's how I feel. Like whenever you start to turn, it's like you have an advanced physics engine now that wasn't the point of Tony Hawk. You didn't play because it was so realistic. You played.
I played specifically because it was unrealistic.
Right, right. And that's what I think they messed up on. You can still do a McVarial 900. That's if you can skate between all of these obstacles that, one, were no longer, like, they weren't there in the original, and, two, have no business being in a place where you're skating. Like, I feel like a skate park, you shouldn't have those, like, ball buster, like, you know, pylons cemented in the ground that you have to kind of weave in and out, in and out of. That's the biggest problem for me. So, What about
pylons?
I know you.
He has a problem with pylons.
Yeah, you know, like when you need more of them. you were talking about Rock Band.
Oh, man, I love me some Rock
Band. As a positive, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, love it. I'm all over that. Come on, Matt. How can you not be? You remember The Apartment. We rocked that out. Cap was there sometimes.
I was there. It was
he
great.
Knows what it's about.
We got
so many noise complaints.
We're going to touch on.
And then
we paid
off the night guard with cigarettes, and his wife didn't know he smoked, and it was great.
Oh, yeah. No, we did some back alley stuff. Louisiana politics. We're going to
talk. That's pretty much what that
we
was.
We're talking about some nostalgia after this next break, but we're going to get to that.
We're going to get to it.
I do like Rock Band as a game, but I feel that one negative thing about this past generation was the plastic peripherals. We have so many peripherals.
What do you want?
Well, I mean, I feel like we couldn't be where we're at without those plastic peripherals for the games.
Yeah, because playing with controllers is
required.
Well, for Rock Band, but then you get a game like Rocksmith, and I know Rocksmith and Rock Band are not the same type of games. Rocksmith uses an actual guitar that you don't have to buy from, you know, Fender or whatever. You can buy any guitar, plug it in. I mean, it has to be tunable, but you plug it in using a normal cable that ships with the game, and it'll help you tune it. It'll show you how to play guitar and
so
show
it's like
you how to
play. Learn how to play guitar.
Right?
Tutorial.
Yeah, it's more like a tutor.
Virtual classroom.
It is not a party game. Rock Band is.
Rock Band's a party game. That's why you need plastic peripherals.
Game.
Imagine your drunk friends with your like nice Gibson or something.
Right. No, there's definitely a problem.
That's not going to happen.
I know it's not.
Not going to happen.
It's not going.
Cap says it's not happening.
It's not going to happen.
But I'd much rather them break my little plastic guitar.
At the same time, I feel like at some point we will outgrow Rock Band, and there are two things that will be somewhat regretful. One, that we have all these plastic instruments that the USB microphone. We can't do anything with we can do a lot with the USB microphone, excuse me. That can be used for a computer as a podcasting microphone or something like that. The keyboard can actually be used as a MIDI keyboard because it hooks up USB and it also has a MIDI output, so you can use that. But the guitars, the drums can and can't be depending on what kind you have.
Just plug them into your Mac and do it
GarageBand.
Just by Dragon Style.
There you. Well, that's possible. I feel it's such a niche crowd. Like, people use microphones in games on PC, and they could use the keyboards. But I feel like, one, you have all these instruments that you just pretty much have to throw away. You don't get any more use out of them because
if you're at the point where you're done playing Rock Band and you're going to get rid of Rock Band, would you sell the peripherals with the game? Whoever's going to get the
They could
the
be
new
worth
Rock
something.
Band.
But something you
and
can't sell.
Why would
sell,
you get rid of it?
Something you cannot sell is the DLC
friends
that you
anymore.
Pay.
You're too old. You're too old.
I'm too old to have fun, guys.
The DLC that you purchased for the game is that's DLC. That's a downloadable purchase. Once you own it, you own it. You can't just give it back. But I feel like Rock Band did not solely hinge on the content on the discs. It was even more so about the content in the cloud, the content that you bought, because new songs come out, you get all this new stuff. I know a guy, he's bought every song that's come out on Rock Band.
Yep.
And that
it all won't fit on a PlayStation, by the way.
That is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
It also has a metal drum kit. I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
Well, no, but I still feel that one regret I would have that if I ever did get rid of Rock Band and I stopped playing
you
it
You would
forever.
Regret getting rid of Rock Band.
But look at this. The PlayStation 4 is not compatible with Rock Band. The game's just not there. So at some point, PS3s will go away.
They got to make a new one, right?
No.
Right?
Rock Band has come and gone.
No. Not happening.
I don't like this world we live in.
Nope. Well, I'm just saying
Cap,
that I don't think Rock Band. I don't think Rock Band has stayed.
We have to step up and
we have
be
to continue.
The new Rock Band.
We will be the new Rock Band.
Okay.
We'll call it Band of Rock.
Band.
Boom.
We are Rock Band.
We can't say Rock Band. That's a lawsuit.
We are Band of Rock.
We just make it two separate words. No, it's already two separate
it's
words.
It's already two separate words. You're getting sued.
We hyphenate it.
Or we can just spell rock different. R-O-K.
R-C-K.
Band. R-C-K.
R-C-K Band.
Rook Band.
Rick.
We're going to cut to a break real quick. This is True Player for Real by MC Lars, and then Light Up the Night by the Proto Men.
Yeah.
I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
I'm Cap.
And you're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.
Lars Horace, I like your song. I'm writing a song about you. I'm about ready on my next rocker record, which is called This Gigantic Robot Kills.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the victory anthem. Welcome to This Gigantic Robot Kills. We've got my childhood hero, Weird Al Yankovic, playing accordion on this jam.
The light, we were standing alive, you and I. You and I. You bring back the light.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm Red Baron. This is Experience Points.
I'm MG.
And I am Cap.
That was Light Up the Night by the Proto Man. Before that, True Player for Real by MC Lars. Unfortunately, and it really truly is unfortunate, actually.
It's sad.
We're out of time. I mean, we cram-packed all of this show full of just talking and talking and talking. And
one long, incredibly unbroken sentence.
We should...
that never ends whenever we...
No, we're not playing this game. I got what he was doing. That was Dark Materia by the Picard song by Dark Materia. We're gonna end the show with the Dark Materia with the Picard song. But before that,
it's a good choice.
We want to pitch the website real quick again. What's that website, Red Bear?
That's experiencepoints.com. EXPpoints.com. Double tap the P.
Okay, so not experiencepoints.com.
Not experience oints either.
Is this EXPpoints.com? Go there, pick up, look at the first thread, the first topic post or whatever on the blog. It's going to be Lost Planet game giveaway. Check that out. It's going to be the last week, so by next show.
And that is for
that
PC?
Yeah, it's for PC. It's a download code via Gamefly that we'll supply to you. We'll also supply the downloadable version of the game. So, again, like once you get it, you just save it, and you'll be good. But follow the instruction on that post to get into the running for the thing. Again, there's only like three. I think one of them's mine. I'm not going to give it to myself, but I already have a copy of the game. But if you want a copy of the game, then go ahead and stay tuned and look at the post. If not, that's fine. Still stay tuned to the website because we have reviews, podcasts, and the latest radio shows that we did. We cut out the music, but you get all the content, so that's really cool. That's a podcast.
That's what you're here for.
Oh, yeah. That's what you listen
for. That's what a podcast is.
But we're going to go ahead and do that. We will be getting more reviews up. We will be getting maybe a comprehensive Rock Band review up soon.
Spoilers, it's awesome.
We are going to have a little sidebar. It'll be kind of off the record, not attached to this, but it will be up in the podcast section of Rock Band Nostalgia. We'll talk about some of the awesome things that we used to do and how cool
that's
we,
a whole show right
how,
there.
How cool we are playing Rock Band, but that is for
the
another
coolest.
Time. Go ahead and check that out online at expoints.com. Two P's, right?
Double tap the P.
Two P's. On that note, I've been MG.
I've been Red Bear.
I've been Cap.
And this has been Experience Points on 90.9 FM KSLU. We're going to end the show with Dark Materia's Picard song. Have a good night.
Good night, Southeastern.
Later.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.